next on the 5 o'clock report.
The vast majority of those pipes are 60 years or older.
It was so much water all the time that the pumps never could keep up with it.
You can feel when your infrastructure is the best in the world.
I've never had such an amazing, overwhelming, wonderful feeling.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Tracy Lynn. Day six following the condo collapse with no additional confirmed deaths in Surfside, Florida.
We have the best and we have sufficient what we need to get this job done.
Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levine-Cava.
Our president, Joe Biden, will be visiting Surfside on Thursday. He's going to spend time with the families who are affected and with our first responders.
CBS's Laura Podesta with a possible cause to the collapse.
Former maintenance manager William Espinoza says the building was often flooded by salt water coming up through the foundation.
It would handle two pumps in there, you know, to suck that water out. It was so much water all the time that the pumps never could keep up with it.
A contractor who visited the building just 36 hours before the collapse shared photos with the Miami Herald. He noted cracking concrete and severely corroded rebar under the swimming pool.
Surfside Mayor Charles Burkett says nobody is giving up hope and the work goes on in full force.
We're dedicated to get everyone out of that pile of rubble and reunite them with their families.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says he spent time with the families who lost loved ones.
They have touched people all across this world, not just here in southern Florida and not just throughout the whole state of Florida.
Meanwhile, President Biden says his bipartisan infrastructure agreement is a blue-collar blueprint to rebuild America.
Millions of good-paying jobs and positions America to compete with the rest of the world in the 21st century.
Speaking in Wisconsin, the president highlighted the plan will replace tens of thousands of lead pipes.
We have thousands of miles of pipeline. The vast majority of those pipes are 60 years or older, some of them more than 80 years old. A lot of them are leaking.
U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg making a stop in Syracuse today. New York Senators Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand showing him how the $2 billion Interstate 81 makeover plan could improve the Salt City.
We need to act. You know, you can feel when your infrastructure is the best in the world. And we can feel that in the U.S., that's no longer the case.
The Federal Highway Administration could have a review of the I-81 project plan completed by mid-July. Buttigieg is currently on a nationwide tour where he's been pushing for Congress to pass a $1.7 trillion spending bill. And pro-life lawmakers keep asking for consent to bring H.R. 18 to the House floor for a vote. Representative Kat Kamick of Florida.
Protecting life is not and should not be a partisan issue. The president and congressional Democrats need to listen to the American people who overwhelmingly support life.
New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith is the author of the measure called No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion and Abortion Insurance.
After 62 and a half million abortions, which equates with the entire population of Italy, it is time to stop, at least make sure that we do not fund abortion on demand. And that's exactly what H.R. 18 would do.
House Minority Whip Steve Scalise.
I hope Speaker Pelosi brings it to the floor. She is blocking it. But all we need is five Democrats to stand up. Five Democrats standing up and saying, I'm willing to protect life and codify the Hyde Amendment, and it could become law.
H.R. 18, now with 183 co-sponsors, would make the Hyde Act permanent. The NCAA's Division I Council is recommending the body end its rules blocking athletes from benefiting financially because of their talents. University of Wisconsin quarterback Graham Mertz thinks it's the right call.
See, it's a great opportunity to grow and to grow your brand, but it's also, how can you not let that take away from the team goal of winning games?
The Division I Board of Directors will consider the recommendation tomorrow. Eight of the 21 states that have passed laws letting college athletes make money from their name, images, or likeness will see that change go into effect starting Thursday. The NCAA is concerned some universities will get an advantage in recruiting if there isn't a level playing field across the country. Still to come this Tuesday, getting a do-over year in Pennsylvania, reporting for in-person classes in New York, and living the dream decades later.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Next couple of days promise some rather unsettled weather conditions as the cool front slowly presses through the area, kicking up some scattered showers and thunderstorms. The call for tonight and for tomorrow, a good deal of cloudiness and very muggy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms around. Low temperatures tonight in most areas, staying above 70. The high tomorrow, low 80s for most. For tomorrow night and Thursday, still a couple of showers around. Cooler on Thursday with high temperatures in the 70s and low 80s. Maybe a couple of rumbles of thunder as well.
Thank you, Kevin. Now for what's happening where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. PA presses ahead with legislation to allow parents to hold their children back in school to make up for learning loss caused by months of remote education.
We thought it was just such a unique year that if ever been a time that the parents should be in charge of when their child moves forward in education, it should be this year. Previous to this, the school district was always in charge of making that decision. So we made the legislation that the parents would be empowered to have the ultimate final say.
Senate President Jay Corman is confident Governor Wolf will sign the education reform effort. In New York, Cornell University is planning in-person instruction for the fall semester. Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, Tracy, the Ivy League school in Ithaca, New York, has a requirement that all students must receive their COVID vaccine before they'll be allowed on campus. Dining halls, gyms, recreational facilities, and libraries alike will resume normal operations come the fall. The deadline for students to submit their proof of vaccination is August 16th. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. A week after being upset in the Democratic primary by a self-described socialist, Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown has announced he'll seek a write-in campaign.
We are going on to the general election as a candidate for mayor, and what people have been saying is write down Byron Brown.
The four-term incumbent lost last week to 38-year-old India Walton, who's on track to become Buffalo's first ever female mayor. Nearly 60% of Pennsylvania's adult population has been fully vaccinated against COVID-19. But for one group of people, inoculations are not the norm. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
When healthcare leaders in the heart of Pennsylvania Dutch country began laying out a strategy to distribute the COVID shot, they knew it would be a tough sell with the Amish. The religious sect tends to be wary of vaccines. Public health officials are trying to combat vaccine hesitancy in Amish country by erecting billboards where the Amish travel by horse and buggy. They've also sent letters to church bishops and offered to take the vaccine into Amish homes and businesses. Vaccine acceptance within the Amish varies by church district. Next to Ohio, Pennsylvania has the largest Amish population in the country. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Next at 5, a political event later this week in the Twin Tiers will take on topics including political chaos, civil disobedience, and ongoing violence. Dr. Steve Coleman of Elmira will lead that discussion. He speaks with Family Life's Bob Price.
The Republican Party is splintered. The Democratic Party is splintered. Last summer, we saw mayhem and violence on the streets of many cities, and that very well could happen again this summer. So, again, when you put all this together, I think politically there's been fireworks in America, and there will be fireworks at Political Pundit Night coming up this Thursday.
Yeah, we're seeing cities like Rochester and Buffalo, record homicide rates. They're on pace to break records as far as gun violence goes. And just this week, we saw another mass shooting in Rochester. We saw last week a lot of the voters had it with the incumbents, and they voted them out. We saw a self-described socialist win the mayor's race in Buffalo, Steve. Nobody saw that coming, but the voters are really saying, throw the bums out this year, aren't they?
Yes, they are. The voters are very frustrated. And one of the things I think people are upset about is that they realize there are really bad cops that should not be cops. But that doesn't mean every cop is a bad cop. And a lot of the cops aren't really as engaged as they were because they're afraid they're going to be criticized and prosecuted and all that. So what's happening with that is the criminals feel they now have a license to do what they want, when they want. And, of course, we have the bail reform in New York State,
yeah,
where people commit crimes and then go to court and they're released, you know, and then they go out and commit another crime.
Yeah.
So we have political chaos. We have chaos on the streets. and things have really gone south in the United States.
Yeah. Would you say that things are just as bad, if not worse, when it comes to the rift in this country and the political chaos, as you put it, now that the Biden administration has taken over? Things were pretty bad in the Trump administration, Steve, but would you say things are just as bad, if not worse, as far as the political divisions in America?
I think they're worse, Bob. The House and the Senate, Republican and Democrats, are splintered between each party, but also within each party. So it's going to be hard to do anything. But then on the streets, again, people feel they have a license because of the criticism of the police and what's happened. People feel they can do what they want when they want, and they're going to get away with it. It's crazy, 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 crazy. And this summer, we're going to have a hot summer, I think. And we had violence on the streets last summer. And I think, I hate to say this, but I think we're going to have violence on the streets this summer.
The fireworks edition of Dr. Steve Coleman's Political Pundit Night this Thursday, 7 till 9, exclusively on MyTwinTears.com. That's MyTwinTears.com. Go there and log in and watch what should be a fruitful debate, Steve. Give us an idea of how that evening will go. Who do you have in the batting lineup this time?
Well, we have Bill Schramm, who's the sheriff of Chemung County, George Verdier, the local NAACP president, Dan Mandel, who's the mayor of Elmira. We had peaceful protests in Elmira last summer. Frank Akam, the conservative voice of the Twin Tiers. Tom Santu, a political commentator, and he's the former Chemung County executive. So we have a whole group.
Well, that sounds like, you know, the Midsummer Classic is coming up. That sounds like an all-star game right there, Steve. You got some heavy hitters in the lineup there for this discussion on Thursday night. And we want all our listeners to if they can, it doesn't matter if you live in Elmira or not, Steve, you can benefit from this discussion, right?
Absolutely. And one person I did not mention in the lineup, Bob, is Joe Sempelinski. He's the Steuben County Republican chair.
Yep.
And he may run for Congress, and that's the seat being vacated by the current incumbent Tom Reed, the 23rd Congressional District.
That's political analyst Steve Coleman ahead of his 23rd Political Pundit Night coming up Thursday at 7 p.m. on MyTwinTears.com. Now time for your market report brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Stocks ending the session higher today despite talks from investors of inflated stock prices from the possibility of peak level earnings growth and the spread of a new coronavirus strain. Across the board, tech and retail shares were positive and financials were trading lower. The Dow today up 9 points, the Nasdaq gaining 28, and the S&P 500 adding just 1 point. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Thank you, Dave. You're listening to the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
Generally speaking, insurance is a good thing, providing peace of mind and a way to recover losses for a reasonable price. But if you're looking for that with a home warranty to repair or replace home appliances and systems, you're likely to be disappointed. Hi, I'm Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute. Consumers frequently complain about extra fees, having to use warranty company technicians who do subpar work, and often replace appliances with inferior models. These warranties cost $300 to $600 a year. That adds up. You're better off putting that money in liquid savings so you're ready to cover the cost yourself. Simply put, you can insure yourself by having an adequate emergency fund saved up. You'll have the peace of mind that comes with it and be money ahead in the long run. Connect with a certified Kingdom advisor who's been trained to deliver financial advice that aligns with your Christian values by visiting our website, moneywise.org.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Next couple of days promise some rather unsettled weather conditions as a cool front slowly presses through the area, kicking up some scattered showers and thunderstorms with an overall downward trend in temperatures. The call for tonight and for tomorrow, a good deal of cloudiness and very muggy. Some scattered showers and thunderstorms around. Low temperatures tonight in most areas, staying above 70. The high tomorrow, low 80s for most. And for tomorrow night and Thursday, still a couple of showers around, cooler on Thursday, with high temperatures in the 70s and low 80s, maybe a couple of rumbles of thunder in the mix as well.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5, what were some of your childhood dreams? 60 years after being denied the opportunity to become a Yankees bat girl, a 71-year-old fan from Connecticut got her chance last night. Ashok Bala reports.
In 1961, Gwen Goldman wrote to then-GM Roy Hamey asking to serve in the role, but was told, quote, a young lady would feel out of place in the dugout.
Here's this 10-year-old girl who wrote it, and she's still inside of me.
Goldman's daughter, Abby, recently forwarded the letter to current GM Brian Cashman, who was happy to rectify the decision as part of Hope Week. The longtime fan got to throw out the first pitch of the Yankees-Angels game and serve as honorary Batgirl.
I've never had such an amazing, overwhelming, wonderful feeling like this, except probably when my children were born.
A dream fulfilled. That's the world we live in this 29th of June. Thanks for coming along. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.